What is up, people of the Musicverse? Welcome back to the Anna Creates Podcast. Today, I have a very special episode for you. I'm joined by hip-hop pop artist Ethan Mack. Ethan is a very creative person. Literally on his website, it says musician, producer, creator. Ethan not only produces his own music, which we get into, he also is very heavily involved in the visual aspect of his music, which is very apparent in all of his music videos, but especially his latest release, Light Switch, which is basically a mini short film of a music video. Light Switch is literally in the semi-finalists for the LA Film Festival at the moment, so that's super dope. But that gives you an idea of the level and quality that Ethan likes to work at. This was all around a really great conversation, talking about how Ethan got into music and then production, and how he sees producing his own music, and how that's an extension of his outlet, along with the visual aspect of what he does in his music videos, and how that's also adding to the value that he brings with his music. We dive into how he sees his music and how he creates the visual aspect of what he does, including, but not limited to, his latest release, Light Switch. There's lots of great stuff in this conversation, and I know you're going to enjoy it. Just a couple things to set the stage before we dive in. We did this interview at Ethan's studio, which is an incredible artistic space with a control room and a live floor, and we're just off in the side of the live floor with this, facing what is a wall of gear and cables and drums and all that kind of stuff. We refer to that right away, but don't really explain it. We also talk about various other videos that he has, like Past Due, which is another cinematic masterpiece, frankly. All right, it's just a great conversation. Let's dive right into it.
Cheers. How was that coffee?
It's fucking good, man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I did the trick?
Damn right. Get comfy here?
Yeah, absolutely. Make yourself at home. Welcome. Welcome.
We're in your studio here.
Yes.
Which is dope. It doesn't look like much from our camera angles. It looks like a chill zone, which it is.
Yep.
I love it. I think it's great.
I kind of think it kind of matches a lot of my music too, which is very chill.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
Actually, this place does fit your vibe.
Yeah.
I think really well. So.
Yeah.
That was deliberate, right?
I think it's just an unconscious expression.
Right.
You know? I think we're all doing that. Like, we're all creating that reality.
Yeah.
Whether we know it or not. And, like, you look at the other side of this room, it's like, holy shit, what is going on over there? But, I mean, like, that's human nature, right?
Exactly.
Like,
it hints to me that you may play drums.
I do.
If I look this way.
Yep. Yeah, drums are my background, but they're my home, I feel like, musically.
Was drums where you started?
I started on the piano, actually. This is funny, but I only recently found out, I forget what I was watching, but someone was like, what type of instrument is the piano? And I was like, oh, it's like a stringed instrument. And they're like, no, it's a percussion instrument. And I was like, What? I don't know. Maybe they were completely wrong, and I can't even remember what podcast it on. It was definitely not a music podcast.
Oh, okay. And now the truth comes out.
Yeah. But I remember like hearing that, whether it's true or not, I was like, interesting.
Yeah.
Because even the way I play the keys now is like very like percussively.
Right.
I treat it more like a percussion instrument than like a stringed instrument.
Interesting.
But so I started playing piano and like in a more traditional sense, more of a stringed instrument sense.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. But yeah.
But, and then my dad bought a drum kit and I was like glued to that thing. Like,
okay.
It was funny because it used to live like in the main floor of my parents' house.
Yeah.
And then, like, I sort of kept playing, slowly moved down to the basement because it was like, okay, just like, chill.
Yeah.
They're always very supportive, my parents, but like.
We're happy you're playing, but like, we don't need it in our face.
Yeah. Well, I can only imagine, like, you hear someone learning to play, especially the drums or any instrument.
Yeah.
It's like, it's tough.
Did you stick with drums for quite a while before?
Yeah.
Because I know you play more stuff than drums now.
Yeah, I stuck with drums basically up until I was about 18.
Okay.
It was when I started learning guitar first on acoustic. I just kind of wanted to be able to play something that was like portable and like chicks love it. Not going to lie.
Ain't that the truth? There we go.
I also like became really fascinated with acoustic and all the stuff you can get with that. And again, like, I found my playing style acoustically is like pretty percussive as well. Like, because you can get all kinds of sounds out of acoustic guitar that you can't necessarily get on an electric or whatever, that kind of tied it back for me to the drums. So that was like a nice natural kind of progression. It took obviously a while to get the basics down and then move from on from there. But then from there I was able to transition to like electric guitar pretty nicely, and then to bass pretty nicely. And kind of full circle, like this past couple past weekends, this and last, I guess maybe not by the time this airs, but I was playing keys with a band live. So that was like something I really haven't done in a live setting.
You've done it in the studio, and like you've played keyboards for that kind of, but not live. Interesting.
Well, in the studio, it's like I can do like 150 million takes. And it doesn't matter because I can go in and like hit that
edit,
one note.
Edit the cue button, isn't that?
Just shift everything. But like for this, is like, that's what people are hearing. So that was cool. It was a challenge for sure.
Did you enjoy it? Was it fun to go back to your roots, I guess?
I mean, I don't feel like I'm touching on my roots in a sense, because like I don't remember all the theory and all that stuff. You know, I just treat it as another way of adding to the soundscape, the landscape. And obviously the notes are a big part of that, but like I'm more interested in the sound and like what it's adding to the band.
Do you think about music theory at all when you're creating, when you're writing or anything like that? Is that a big part of your thought process? Because I know a lot of people think that way. It's like, what key is this in? Like, that's one of their first questions. Is that something that influences you a lot or not so much then?
To a degree it is. Like, I think especially when it comes to things, when I'm working with artists and they bring like a beat, let's say, and they want it to be like super auto-tuned, like a hip hop thing that's like trappy, or like a pop thing that's got a lot of tuning on it. Like, that is one of the first things that I'm looking at. Even in some of my own stuff, like, I do use auto-tune and like tuning, especially in the early phases of production, quite heavily. And sometimes I end up liking those sounds, but I think like beyond that, like, I'm not getting super in depth into like the modes and the this and that of the theory. It's more just like the sound and like the texture and like the vibe and what it's like bringing to the overall
thing. No, totally.
So I guess like people might look at stuff that I've made or the processes that I go through and they're like, oh, like, yeah, like you're adding, you know, a counter melody here. And it's like, oh, like, I guess so.
Know? But that's a post, you look at that after and go, oh, I guess I did that. Not, I need to do the fifth of this and the counter melody of that. Like,
I think too, like, I know what I think sounds good. And like, whether it's like, oh, this would sound nice with an octave down below it. I'll do that, but I'm not thinking like, oh, this needs to have the third and the fifth. I don't know. Maybe I do. I don't know. It's all dependent.
But it's what I'm hearing you say is it's more subconscious than it is a conscious, I need the fifth, I need the third, I need the, like, I'm going to name it before I do it. I'm the same way. I don't know music theory, despite my mother, despite her best efforts. But I don't think about that. And like, I can't, I'm really bad with like what key something's in. I'm the guy that uses auto key to like detect it and go, I think this is it.
I need that tool, whatever that is.
Yeah. It's phenomenal. It's by auto-tune. It's great. But like, I don't think about that either. I just, what sounds good. And then sometimes people are like, oh man, you did, that's not, you can't do that. I'm like, why not? It sounds good. I like how it sounds. And that's the problem with it to me. Is it hinders certain people I've seen where they're like, you can't do that chord. Why not?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
I know.
Who cares if it's wrong? I like it. You know what I mean? So
I try and make music come from within as much as possible, and not try to channel, well, like not channel it, but like direct it too much.
Right.
Like there's a degree of like editing that has to happen, I think.
Yeah.
To just make it sensible and like
a cohesive song in the
end. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also like, you know, we're making deep stuff. Mm. Like I know it may not always sound like it, but when I listen to stuff and I'm like, people are like, what's that about? It's like, well, it's like either like a relationship that happened or like some deep like thing in my life that's like kind of governed the way I think or feel.
Right.
So it's like, I want to try and like allow that to come to light and not,
right.
not be like, okay, I want to make a song in C major.
exactly. yeah.
Just because it's like on trend or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So,
a song in C major that's 128 beats per minute.
Exactly.
And like, yeah.
Follow the formula.
I need 4 bars of intro. I need, but yeah.
Yeah. No. But the other thing about that is like, and it kind of goes back to what I was saying, like, you got to kind of make stuff that people will listen to and be able to comprehend in a sense. Mm. But if we just kept doing that, we'd just be making the same shit over and over and over and over and over again, which like to a degree, that's how things evolve. Mm. But also like there's got to be some give in terms of like the boundaries you push.
Yeah, because you have to push the boundaries. Otherwise, you're right.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I mean, disregarding obviously like some way out there world music, but like mm-hmm. we have 12 notes.
Yeah.
Everything is created off of 12 notes. So there's only so much you can do.
Yeah.
In a sense, you know what I mean?
For
but it's
sure.
the way that you push those boundaries, how you put them together, what you stack on top of each other,
mm-hmm.
all that kind of stuff that makes everything unique. Obviously, you know, lyrics and stuff like that come into it too. And mm-hmm. what the emotion of that is felt based on your own experiences and things that might be very personal, might not.
Yeah.
Might be really deep and like, oh, I don't really need to tell people what this is about versus, no, I wanted to write a song about drinking beer.
Yeah, right.
You know, sometimes
exactly.
that's a thing too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I think the relatability of songs like that are what help it to like just kind of take off.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's times for that for sure because like, I don't know.
The deeper songs, though, when you write them in a way that's not metaphorical, but like not hitting the nail on the head,
mm-hmm.
kind of like, this is what it is. I'm not saying the girl's name,
right.
exactly the text she sent me that I didn't like, whatever.
Yeah.
When you do it in a slightly different way, people pull what they want from the song too. And it mm-hmm. almost makes it more relatable to more people in their own way. And it makes it more special because they feel like you're talking to them specifically.
For sure.
And like, even though it could be about a completely different topic
mm-hmm.
entirely, but they pull what they want from it. And I think that's really cool. Whereas a song about drinking beer, if you're like, well, I don't drink beer. Okay,
right.
Well, this song is completely irrelevant because there's no way I can change it in my own brain.
Yeah.
It's very clear.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think that's really cool where you can have it as an outlet for yourself and your things in your life, and somebody else can pull the same or something similar or something completely different out of it, which
mm-hmm.
is cool and powerful.
It ties into all forms of art too. Like I remember going to the AGO a couple of years ago and like, there's like the modern art wing.
Yep.
And like the very first piece I walked in and saw, I don't even remember who the artist was, but it was just like a rectangular canvas and just like a black circle in the middle
right.
of it. Like a big black circle. And that was it. Like, it was just like, huh. Like a lot of people would look at that and just be like, that's so dumb. Like I could do that. But, and like to a degree, yes, but also like, did you stand with it? Did you look at it from a different angle? Did you get up really close and like inspect it?
Yeah.
What's going on there? Like, what is this made on? Like, you know, so yeah, like I don't know if like my music could be like transfixed into modern art category
right.
or what. It's not like a minimalist style by any
right.
means, but like, I think there's just so many different ways of like interpreting and like experiencing art
yeah
that like it really doesn't matter
no
you know.
Everybody's going to pull some whatever they want away from it. And it is also valid that somebody's going to look at it or listen to it and go, well, that's dumb.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, I mean, I've grown up listening to metal. I love metal. And the amount of people that are like, it's just screaming and sucks. And it's like, it's actually really deep. And there's some like amazing lyrics and like it's soulful in some of it. And people don't get it. And that's completely
and
valid.
And they're some of the best players.
Oh my gosh.
Out there.
It's insane. Yeah. When you actually listen to some of these guys, it's nuts.
I know.
But people look at that and go, that's terrible. He's just screaming and completely disregard that. But they'll listen to like jazz and go, this is the best thing ever. It's like, sounds like a bunch of mistakes to somebody else.
Right.
This doesn't make any sense. This is just people diddling on their instruments for 3 hours, you know?
Yeah.
But it's fascinating. The different ways you can see that kind of stuff with any art, modern art, like visual arts, video, anything. Cause there's definitely the same thing with movies. Some people are like, that movie was amazing. And I'm
have you seen Citizen Kane?
I don't get it.
Tell me you've seen Citizen Kane.
Exactly. At a certain point, what's the point of it too? Because like John Wick, amazing series of movies. If you want a brainless, complete, just violent, well shot, well made, but like there's no, the plot is paper thin.
The plot is like someone killed my dog. And I'm going to kill their entire organization.
Exactly.
And everyone they know.
Yeah. But that's the whole plot. Like, that is the plot.
Sign me up.
Exactly. But then you get into, like, Inception or something, and it's like, you have to watch that thing, or
Tenet. Yeah.
Where it's like, you got to watch that thing 20 times before you understand what's happening and, like, the message behind it.
Yeah.
And, like,
I need a break. Like, I watched Tenet, and I was like, okay, I need to go for a walk or something.
Shuffles
your cards up top.
It does. I had to watch a bunch of like YouTube explainer videos after I watched it too.
Right.
I was like, I know there's a connection, but like, I don't get it.
It's funny. Like, how do those people that make those explainers, are they like speculating? Do they know? Like,
I've always wondered that. I just think they're smarter than me. So I'm like,
yeah.
What you're saying makes sense. So I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Psychologically speaking, what's happening here is a series of,
when people start talking about like, when they go so in depth in like the coloring of this and that, and the relationship between this and that's a 58 degree angle from that. And it's like, I mean, I'm sure you're not wrong, but I also, that seems crazy because I always relate it back to making music, and I've listened to people talk about records that I've been a part of. And they're like, that thing was amazing. And and I'm like, that was a mistake that they were like, oh, that sounds kind of neat. Yeah. Throw it in.
Yeah.
And there was no more thought to that than that. And yet that's the thing that they think is like super thought out. And it's a third of this and it's a this and it comes in on this and it's like building the tension here. And it's like, I mean, but like that wasn't thought out. That just happened.
Happy accidents.
You know? Yeah. But people overthink things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, with something like Tenet, I think it's definitely been thought out. But
100%.
Like, for a lot of other things, like, I don't know if that was that thought out.
Right.
You know?
Well, I feel like, in a way, it's Christopher Nolan, right?
Yeah, Christopher Nolan does.
He seems like that's the shit that makes him thrive. Like, that's the shit that he's just like, okay. And then, which is like, it's kind of a testament to the capacity of like the human mind in a way. Cause it's like, we all think differently.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just the way he thinks. And like, he's thinking like 18 steps ahead visually.
You watch the interviews and he does think of all the stuff, like all the things that like the, I don't want to say conspiracy theorists on YouTube, but like the the analytical people, I guess, is the way to put it.
Tinfoil hat, we can
where they really analyze everything, and it's like you listen to interviews with him, and it's like, no, that's him. He does that. He's the guy that actually thinks of all of those things and like the tiniest details.
Yeah,
which is why the movies are so crazy. But like, some people don't like them, and it's fine.
Yeah,
but he thrives on thinking of that stuff, and like that's. Because he only makes like one movie every 4 or 5 years or something.
Like that.
I don't know what it is, but he doesn't make a gazillion movies.
Yeah.
every year.
He's not pumping out a Marvel.
No.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, he's not part of the Marvel universe, for sure.
Well, maybe. I mean, maybe he should.
Maybe he should. Maybe
be better. Yeah, I mean, better watch them then.
Maybe they would be good. So, okay, going back to your music.
Yes.
How do you describe your music?
I mean, like, genre-wise, I would say, like, it's mostly in the realms of hip-hop and pop, but it's kind of neither.
It's in the middle.
Yeah. Someone said to me last weekend, it's like, I think they said it's like urban pop, which I was like, oh, interesting.
Okay.
Because it's got the, you know, that hip-hop kind of urban feel.
The drums are hip-hop-y.
Yeah.
The melodies are poppy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then you've got the urban-y different production in between.
Yeah. It's got a bit of grit. It's got a bit of, like, dirt. It's not, like, completely polished. But it is to a degree. I think that's where, like, the kind of more poppy stuff and the singing. I like to sing, like, too. So I love, like, jazz, and I love bringing those influences in, like, Mad Lib style. Like, the instrumentals like that, like, I just love that. So, yeah, I really don't know. Because there's also songs that kind of go away from that that I make that are like, I kind of like this too.
Yeah.
But I would say my home is like in that like kind of hip-hop, pop
genre
field.
Yeah. But I, you know what? I appreciate though that you don't almost hinder yourself by going, oh, this is too left of that or right of that, or it's not in that vein, and just go, eh, I like this too.
Yeah.
Because all of your music, I think, still has your style. Like, it's still like, oh yeah, that's your style no matter what. It's like, I don't know what the heck it is necessarily, but it's still you, which says is a testament to your own style that you bring to it as well, which is cool, but it still has that.
I try not to play too much into like the mind game of like, oh, like hip hop, it's got to be, you know, whatever, 70 to 83 BPM or, you know, that doesn't even really matter anymore. I don't think it's getting so niched and like there's so many subgenres like there's always funnels where you can find your music. I think the hard part now, honestly, is like we were playing at this festival this past weekend in Tavistock called Trashella. And like, obviously I was the only one who was rapping at this festival, even at the one before, which is like in Stratford, which is like kind of a more like, I guess, commercial festival. I was the only one who rapped. And like, a lot of people loved it. There were some people I went up to after the show. This one guy, he was like, you know, I loved all your stuff. Older guy.
Yeah.
Loved it, your whole thing, you know, it was great. Except for that rap shit, you know? And I was just like, okay, so like anything I did.
Like, literally all that I did. Okay, great, thanks.
But like, some, there was other people who like, you could tell like maybe they've never been to a rap show. Maybe they never seen it live. There's so much like skepticism about rap still, especially in like Stratford. And it's not like rap is mainstream now. Like, let's friggin' face that.
Yeah.
But in places like Stratford, it's not.
No.
I wouldn't say it is at all. Like, it's very country, folk, rock centric.
Yep.
And these festivals kind of tend to be more along those
lines. Those are the artists that are around, or more of them that are around here. Yeah. So then that happens to be what makes up the festival.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the difficult part for me right now, is like the internet allows me to get my music wherever, but even still, you know, when I play at a festival or something, you want to be able to like reach people right here where you're at with them on that day and like, you know, gain fans and stuff, you know. But there were still people there that were like, oh, that, like, are those original songs? Which, like, that to me is like, yes, like, that's kind of what I want to be able to purvey.
Yeah, I think so.
Portray.
There you go. Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's just a matter of, like, where I'm at in my career. And I still feel like I'm just barely scraping the surface, even though I've been at this for a while.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, I still love it. And, like, just those one or two people coming up after a show when you're at, like, a... Like, the headliners for these shows were, like, metal, like, you know, the guys are, like, screaming and stuff. And it's, like, I totally get that. That's a vibe. And, like, people are here to mosh and, like, drink and party.
Yep.
And, but, like, those one or two people that come up and they're, like, oh, that was sick. Like,
yeah,
I totally, you know, get it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
But I think people have... like nowadays, especially, I think people are more open to a lot more different things.
Yeah.
Cause like I'm a metalhead. I love metal. I love rock. I'm like, that's my main thing. I listen to almost anything and I don't love a lot of rap, like hardcore gangsta rap is not my thing, but one of my favorite artists I would say is NF. He's a rapper and he's amazing, but I like connect with other bits of what he does. And
for sure,
I think it's awesome. So what I'm saying is I think there's a lot of people that are like, maybe they are metalheads at these shows or folk heads or whatever.
Yeah.
That you call people who
you
like
folk head. You folk head. In Ireland, as they call them. Hey, folk head.
Yeah, exactly. But they would be more open to it, or if they hear the right thing, they'd be like, oh, I didn't know I liked that, but that's kind of cool. And I think you bridge enough gaps that you might introduce more people to it and go, oh, I don't mind that. Cause I can understand certain people think when they hear the name rap, they think of gangster rap and I've got shot seven times kind of stuff. And it's like, no, like, that was some of the popular stuff at one point, but like, that's not what rap is.
Yeah.
Here's a different style. And like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
There's more. This is cool. I like this.
Well, it goes back to like, when we were kind of talking about art too, it's like some people may look at a piece of abstract art and not see anything in it or think it's trash and move on. And other people might think it's like brilliant.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of like, you know, keeping the things flowing and like trying to still touch on yourself and bringing that to people. And then expanding the horizons on who you're able to bring it to.
Exactly.
But it's funny because like in high school, I don't know if I would consider myself a true metalhead, like, but I listened like almost exclusively to like, you know, Alexis on Fire, Killswitch Engage.
Ah, yep.
Protest the Hero. The first show I ever went to was Protest the Hero.
Oh man,
at London Music Hall.
I might have been at the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Probably.
Was it like around the Fortress era?
Yeah. Like it was down in when they had like the basement.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny you say Protest because Protest is one of the bands I've seen the most.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen them so many times.
Yeah.
It
was great. It was amazing.
Great.
He was using that little flower guitar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. 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 They're brilliant.
Yeah.
I think.
I don't think overtly that influence comes out in my music, but. There's certain songs, I don't know if there's anything that's like out right now that has it, but like there's certain songs that we play live and when I play with a guitarist, I'm like, okay, go crazy here. Like make this distorted and wild.
Right.
Which like you don't necessarily hear in hip hop music.
Yeah.
Or pop music for that matter. Mm-hmm. So I still love that. I love that stuff.
When because I know you produce a lot of your own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When did production kind of start happening for you? Like, when did you go, you know, I can like get my vision, my art across better.
Right.
If I can like take the reins on this a little bit more. When did that start kind of coming into it? Or was it a slow, gradual thing? Or
yeah, I think so. But I remember distinctly... Again, being in high school, I was around grade 11. Mm. One of my really good buddies at the time, I haven't seen him in a while, but he was like a really talented rapper.
Mm.
And, you know, around that same time, I was like, could play the drums, obviously, and I was playing in bands. So I had a, a musical sense. And I was just getting into GarageBand a little bit, you know, recording demos with the band and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, interesting. Like, wonder what I could do with some rap stuff. And so I would like record little licks on the guitar. And I remember he would always like rap over YouTube beats. And it was awesome. Like, you know, just to be able to do that and make it a thing was sick. But I remember distinctly being like, this would be so much cooler if I made that beat.
Right.
You know, if that was like my instrumental.
Yeah.
So, again, it was like a long process. And I still to this day, I use a lot of loops and like, I don't always make everything dead from scratch.
Right.
I take some loops and I like to manipulate them, pitch them, even like rewrite the parts, just using them as a template.
Yeah.
But I think initially it was just like wishing that he was rapping on my beats.
Yeah.
And like that, then I, you know, started rapping and stuff too. And when I listen to those like early raps, they're so funny and like cringy.
Yeah.
But also like, I'm like, oh, I know what I was trying to say.
Yep.
And I just hadn't really found my voice yet and found my tone and like flow. But yeah, like I literally remember at my parents' house with my iPod Touch.
Oh my God.
Having like, you know, the headphone, Apple earbud headphones, the GarageBand on my iPod Touch in their like cellar, I guess you would call it cold room thing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is like a little booth in here, you know? Like cold, wet, like cement floor. It's probably
not,
fucking mold.
Just reverberant everywhere, but it's a booth.
it's like a little booth in here. Like I was so fired up. And that's like kind of like initial like starting to record before I even had a mic or anything like that.
Oh man, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that is awesome.
And I wish like I had those to a degree. Like I know that I would never broadcast them,
do anything with them, but like to be able to hear where you started.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah.
It's trippy, man. It's so trippy.
I have some old recordings of my like back when I was first getting in production.
Yeah.
And I still have them on backup drives and stuff. And every once in a while I stumble across them and it's like, wow, like this is where it's so cool to just go through. And every once in a while I'm like, damn, that was a cool riff. I want to use that.
Yeah.
I haven't yet, but
right.
You know, as you grew from that, why did you continue? Were you like, I really like production, doing it for myself, doing it for other people. Like, what kind of made you continue and go, you know, I'm going to like invest in this.
My life. I'm not going to lie. I think part of it came through just like peer validation.
Mm.
I don't think that's the reason I've done it for as long as I have and the reason I've delved into it as much as I have, but there's a rewarding piece of creating something.
Yep.
And someone being like, you made that? That's sick. Even if it's just your buddy.
Yeah.
That is like, to me, I think, unconsciously at the root of things, has given me the motivation to keep doing it.
Okay.
Aside from that, though, and like what I think is more of a major factor in like why I sit down and like do it almost every day.
Yeah.
Is like just the drive to want to like create something that I can validate.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's like, oh man, I made that?
Yeah.
That's awesome. And it's like, will that ever happen?
Yeah.
I don't know, because it's like every project I would say gets to the point where it's like, this is ready for people to hear.
Right.
Some people might say that was 10 versions ago. Some people might say it needs work. But every project for me, I'm like, this is good to go.
Right.
But again, it's like you look back and you either think, oh, I should have done this.
Yeah.
Or you think, that was cool, but why didn't it really take off?
Right.
So, you know, it's a constant process of me being like, how can I either express more clearly what I want to say or make something that makes me feel a certain way more succinctly.
Yep.
And then I think along the way, just getting a little bit of validation and like feedback,
yep,
positive stuff keeps you going.
Yeah.
Because like if it's hard, man, if you just are in these zones and no one is hearing it, first of all, or, you know, you're not getting any feedback.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, okay, well, then I'm just going to quit.
Yeah, no, totally.
So
yeah.
I think that's definitely kept me in it. But the deeper drive has just been like wanting to figure this whole puzzle out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a high when you like do something and you're like, oh, this is, even you're just sitting in your studio by yourself and you like get that harmony right or that new is, and you're like, it's an adrenaline rush. Like it's a high on its own where you're like, oh my God, that I did that. I thought of that. And then like that lasts for about 4 seconds. You're like, okay, how can I improve it?
Exactly. Yeah. I was literally doing that the other day, man. I had this video cause I've been trying to like document a little bit more of like the making of.
Oh, nice.
Which I know you do too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, sorry to interrupt because I know you were going
no,
off.
No. Go, but, like,
I was like, typically when I go through a verse, I'm like, just take.
Yeah.
What's it feel like? What's it sound like? Whatever comes out might not even be words.
Yeah.
Try and get the feel. And there's a sign that's like, is this real life or is this a book? Just like I'm King Louis, I'll walk up to you like you knew me, but you wasn't ready for it. You tried to shoo me. And then, so I was like, oh my God. Like just kind of came out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then like, and then in the video, I watch you back and I'm like, okay, next, but what's the next line? Look at me, like enjoy it.
Yeah.
And then like, yeah, what's the next line?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
That's so funny. And it's so, so true.
It's just interesting too. Like when you sit down with someone, you immediately feel different about the way it sounds.
That is one of my favorite tests.
Right.
I do that with my parents or something even. Mm. And they don't have like the technical knowledge.
Yeah.
But it's like, if I sit down and show my dad, just the act of standing there while they're listening and you're like, that's too long. Oh, that's dead. That's not as good.
Yeah.
You can't hear the thing that I thought I could hear. Like,
yeah. Well, immediately too, like as soon as I play it, like I get butterflies in my stomach. I'm nervous.
Yeah.
Even if it is my family or like good friends.
Yep.
Like, here it is. Like,
yeah.
But then it exposes like things in your music.
It
you can see the way they shift or what they mess with. Like I remember showing like friends like a whole like basically an EP worth of music.
Yep.
And the songs that I like, they were like just sitting there not even moving to it. I'm like, what the fuck? Like I'm like,
what?
Oh,
yeah.
And then I play something else and I'm like, this is just kind of like a little throwaway.
Whatever. Yeah.
Like, oh, dude, like this should be on NBA 2K. I'm like, this?
Really?
Like, really?
That's so funny.
Yeah. It's,
I find it can help you find a different appreciation for some of those throwaways where you're like, this is whatever. And they're like, that is so cool. And you're like, okay, maybe, I must be missing something because I didn't think this, but okay, let me reassess. And then sometimes I find my favorite things out of that. They're like, that was awesome. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I hadn't thought about it that way. I liked this thing, but like, damn.
Yeah.
So I think that's a cool way to kind of vet your stuff, I suppose.
Yeah.
For yourself. Because that's the thing. It's a very, not isolating, but solo thing to create a lot of this and produce your own stuff, and you're by yourself a lot, especially when it's something that you create in a computer most of the time, or play one instrument at a time. It's not a band playing together.
Exactly.
And so you're the only one that thinks about it for such a long, like hours, days, weeks sometimes. And so,
years.
And like, you need that reinforcement or that criticism or just the showing somebody else to really understand what you've created. And sometimes it doesn't matter what they say. I get exactly what I need out of just having somebody present while I'm playing it.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of need that. Otherwise you're so isolated from everybody else that you put it out and go, I wasn't doing well. Well, you may have missed something because you didn't show anybody until it was done. Like, you have to show.
Which, quick little plug here.
Yeah.
For all those watching. I sent a bunch of tracks to you to review and check and, like, kind of, like, basically when I was, like, sick of listening and tweaking them.
Yeah.
And that has been such a huge help just in terms of, like, bringing things to a point where I know, like, sometimes it's production-wise, sometimes it's sonically. I know that you have the ear for both. But I know, like, I have a lot more confidence moving forward from that point. And those videos and the feedback are so amazing and so helpful. Awesome. So for anyone out there watching that hasn't done it and watches this channel or is just a musician or a producer, whatever, I think you should link up with Chuck, send your stuff to him, because it will just, in a way, it'll expose things in your mix or in your production that will just bring it up to the next level. And also just, like, make sure that it's hitting speakers the right way. It's hitting the ears the right way. It's translating. It's coming across the right way. So, thanks for, first of all, for just doing that.
Yeah.
And, like, for all the times in the past, and I'm sure the many times in the future that it will occur.
Thanks for the plug on my podcast.
Absolutely.
It's great.
I mean, I'm plugging to people who probably already have found you and use you for that, but I mean, I don't know. I think, it's like, it's huge.
I do the same thing. I have a buddy of mine that I send pretty much every mix to. Yeah. And just go, what do you, give me your 2 cents. Because he knows my style. He knows my stuff. We work on tons of shit together. He sends me his stuff. Like, and it's, and the reason I started doing the feedback in the first place was because it's helpful to have somebody who you know. One, to get feedback from somebody, but also somebody who can actually give you feedback that's, like, actionable and, like, this is a thing and I know I trust you because your ears are good.
Yeah.
You know, because it's
precise.
I can't send it to my mother for feedback because she doesn't know.
Great.
That's great. Like, she'll give me some feedback, sure, but it's not, like, helpful half the time.
I know.
Whereas somebody who was like, oh, and I know you have the ear for this.
Mm-hmm.
They give you, the vocal's too low, maybe a dB up. And you're like, okay, so it's close, but not quite there.
Yeah.
And that's so helpful versus that's a dope riff.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. But, like, is the guitar sound good?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
but also too, like, it's tough when you're at that point too, because it's like, you want criticism or, like, at least constructive feedback. But also, it's nice sometimes to have those validations of, like, that guitar riff there is sick. Like, don't change that. Because, you know, I know, even if it's, like, a sound and that it's there, you're always second-guessing it. You're always thinking, like, oh, maybe I'll, like, change it the third time.
Yeah,
but it's, like, having that, too, is just so
100%,
nice.
100%. Yeah. And that's why, with my feedback, I do the videos.
Yeah.
Because I can say that. It's a lot easier than typing in an email and going, point one, vocal up, point two, riff sick, point three.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't work. But if I can just spew, then I can, like, oh, I love this part. That's really cool. So I think because of that, we want to amplify that. Let's do this. Because there's a lot of, well, if you want to do this, do that. If you don't want to do that, do this. If you want to, so anyway. But 100%. Because, yes, you're right. Having that kind of, like, okay, the riff that I thought was hitting is hitting. Okay, perfect. You know,
exactly.
The next thing I want to talk about was the visual aspect of what you do, because you have a very, well, as we talked about your studio here, but, like, we talked about this before, the visual, you mentioned you see music in a way and, like, the visual aspect of what the music is portraying in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
How does that influence your production, and also just what does that, like,
right.
Do you literally see a movie in your head when you're making a song, or how does that play into your creation process, I guess?
I think that it plays into my creation process in that when I can see a movie playing in my head, I know that it's touching on something that at least I think is worth pursuing.
Right.
Or at least reaching a point of conveying a message. And I think part of that is just due to how much I know the music business is reliant now on visual too.
Right.
So I'm always kind of trying to think of that as I go. And sometimes that's just a matter of, like, for example, like light switch.
Mm-hmm.
That was just a matter of kind of taking the lyrics pretty literally.
Right.
And it kind of happened organically from that point. Like, we didn't try and get too ephemeral or, like, too abstract with it.
Right.
Which I kind of, in a sense, had done. Like, one of the first videos that I actually shot for my brother,
yep,
is his song Remind You, where I had this idea of, like, okay, in the one scene, like, we'll make it really simple, but, like, the one scene you'll be wearing a blue shirt and you'll have a pink ice cream cone.
Yeah.
And it'll just be melting in your hand. And then in the other scene, you'll be wearing a blue suit and you'll have like pink flowers in your hand, and then we'll light them on fire.
Oh.
So it was like,
yeah,
these two, like, very, like, kind of curated shots, but very simple.
Yep.
And, like, I can't even understand how that came into my mind or why and what.
But it's as you listen to the music, this is what pops into your head, and you go, you know, that works with the music, and that's how you see the music, so
yeah,
to speak.
Yeah. I think what it takes for me is stepping away from it, from a music-minded sense.
Yep.
Like thinking of it from, if I was going to shoot a video for this,
right,
what would it look like?
Yep.
Or what idea can I bring to this that is visually accessible? In other words, like, what abstraction,
yeah,
could we,
yeah,
make into a reality?
Right.
And I think a big part of that is, like, stepping away from the studio with it, like,
yep,
being in my car or just on a run or a walk,
yep,
and allowing other areas and, like, influences to impact the way I'm thinking about the,
yeah,
song.
Is it more of a kind of after you've made it, or do you think about that while you're making it as well?
Most of the time it's, like, after the fact. Actually, it's funny though, because part of me, which is a video that I did before Light Switch was out, I had this idea of, like, because it's with my brother again, and I had this idea of, like, shooting it and sitting us in the exact same spot and just splitting the screen right down the middle of our face.
Okay.
So, like, both of us were, like, singing simultaneously split screen.
Right.
And it just didn't really work. Like,
okay,
it looked just way too weird.
Mm.
And it was, like, just, like, weird. But anyway, it took trying it.
Yep.
And being in the studio with,
yep,
Jeff Wood, Little Big Creative.
Yeah.
A little plug. Who also, like, he has been a big, very big part of my, like, visual conveyance.
Right. Okay.
Because he, like, I will bring this idea to him or a song to him, and he's like, okay, well, how are we gonna do that?
Yeah.
And, like, I have some knowledge of cameras and stuff like that, but he's got more proficiency in that.
So he takes the creative idea you have and expands on it, also knowing the technical knowledge better.
Yeah.
I guess
he takes this sap that I spew out and he boils it down to, like, a nice sweet maple syrup.
Yeah.
So we can all enjoy it.
Yeah, perfect. I love that. That's great. You've released a bunch of songs. You have a bunch of videos.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, like Driver's License, was very...
Driver's Seat, sorry. All good.
Driver's Seat. I should know that because I did... You sent it to me before.
That was one of the... Yeah.
I'm terrible with song titles. So
that's all good.
Yeah. But anyway, that one, like, it was a very cool, stimulating, visually... video, but it was simple.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then you come out with something like Light Switch or Past Due, which is, like, literally a short film.
Mm-hmm.
How do you decide which song gets that treatment versus just kind of like, I need a video and this is what I'm feeling, but, like, it's a music video. Those are,
yeah,
like Driver's Seat was a traditional music video, more or less.
Yeah.
Whereas Light Switch is almost 10 minute mini film.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So how do you pick? How do you decide that?
I think in a way it's like, first of all, like, I try to make a video for every song, and it may not always happen, but I try and at least think of some ideas and ways of doing it. And a lot of the time, I think just having something very simple but provocative is the way to go. And it doesn't have to be complicated.
Yep.
But Light Switch was one that when we played it before we did the video, when I played it at a show, the reaction I got from that song was kind of like different than a lot of the other songs we played that night. So that was part of it being like, okay, maybe the song is
kind of
special.
Next level,
like, it's kind of
special.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
It at least it attracts people to it. It's very catchy, you know.
People seem to be connecting to it more.
It's just simple, it's accessible.
Yep.
And it's like it's very catchy. But apart from that, like, Jeff and his sister, actually, who did all the choreography on that, who was at that show, they were like, dude, let's do something with that song.
Oh, okay.
And Jeff was like, let's make a movie.
Okay.
And of course I'm down. Yeah. Like, I was like, okay, 100%. But then it was like, what could that be? We did a little video, a little behind the scenes video of like how we came up with it.
Yeah. Which I will link in the description of the podcast, because it's so good. I watched the behind the scenes thing too. So good.
Sweet.
Also very well put together, might I add. Like, it's not a like you two sit down and go, so we did this. Like, it's a production in itself. But anyway, continue. Yeah.
Which again speaks to Jeff's brilliance and just skill.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
Really, really good and really creative and sick with it.
Yeah.
As they say. And then Past Due, again, like, that was a song for me that I when I made it at the time, I was like, oh, I just love the way this song comes across. And, like, it's, again, got some catchiness to it. And then working with Chris, they were just, like, super pumped to do something very cinematic as well.
Okay.
And it was for both of those directors, cinematographers, I would say maybe like the biggest project at the time that they undertook themselves as both director and cinematographer. So I think it was like very much a joint progress or a joint project in both cases, where we came together and we both curated the vision and like I brought a lot of the ideas and the music to it, and then they were able to curate kind of the both technical and creative aspects of the filming it. And I also love seeing that when I watch like certain music videos, like an opportunity to, whether you're making a short movie or not, you're making a movie.
Yeah.
You know? So we just like thought, hey, why not go all in?
Yeah. That's awesome. It turned out really well. It's a different aspect of the song too. Like, it complements the song really, really, really well. So it's
right.
If y'all haven't checked it out, go check it out. Cause really well done. Moving forward.
Yeah.
To kind of close out here, what is your kind of your goal as an artist in your next, not your end goal necessarily, but like what you're hoping to continue to achieve as an artist?
I think the biggest thing overall, and I think for a lot of artists, it's maybe the hardest thing to do, but it's just finding kind of my tribe and my following in a way. Like, there's bits and pieces and pockets of it, and I think part of that is living in a community that is definitely arts supportive.
Yep.
But it's not necessarily the most live music supportive to a degree. And I'm not trying to complain or anything, but it's just what is what it is.
Yep.
So I really don't know exactly what that means in terms of like moving somewhere or just being able to find online communities that I know people will mess with what I'm doing at.
Right.
And I think part of that is just, like you said, like consistently putting music out.
Yeah.
Being consistent. And yeah, like there's a bunch of songs in the works that now that I feel as though I have a band.
Yep.
We've been able to reinvent some of the stuff that I've been working on.
Cool. And
that's really exciting. I think that's something I've always wanted to do.
Yep.
Not only have the band that I play live with, but also like that's the band that I write.
Gotcha.
Stuff with.
Yeah, yeah. Bring them more into the creative side of it as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I really don't know, but I'm excited to where that could potentially lead to.
Yeah.
And yeah, I have a couple videos also in mind.
Nice.
They're a little more simple, but there's like some technical stuff.
Yep,
like
yep.
I've been in touch with like a prop designer.
Oh geez.
So
they're simple, but like
yeah. Well, they're simple, and then again, like Jeff and I were like planning early phase production. And I was like, okay, well, we need someone else to do this.
when Ethan Mack says simple, it's a different bar.
Yeah, well, I mean, even like Driver's Seat, like very simple, but the way we shot that video, it's been done, but basically I sped the song double time.
Right.
And then we shot it in slow-mo.
Okay,
and then
yeah.
sped the video up. So that when the song is playing with it,
yep,
it's in slow motion,
right?
But I'm singing in time.
In time, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So with that video, with her like moving around, like it's super gluey and
right,
like, very like evocative and like
yeah.
The way the song is,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's not off.
Yep.
So it's like simple, but it's like it was. It was technical to like achieve that result. So I think that's really cool. Like, you know, it can be simple, but you should also have something where it's like catching people. There's got to be a little bit of something to it that's like weird or like there's a hook.
I'm guessing then you also find that fun to go, how can I push my own limits and how can I push the boundaries of my creativity
100%.
With some of this? Like you said, it's got this like gluey feel that works with the song. So it's an extension of the song.
Yes.
And thus another outlet for you as an artist and as a creative, really.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously you like pushing your own boundaries with that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah. For me, it's a good expression of like my own artistic creation because I edited that video too.
Oh, okay.
So, like, the color treatment even of that one, like, when we shot it, it looked nothing like that. And, like, raw video format, it usually looks different, but even, like, with, like, a little color slapped on there, I was like, no, like, it's got to be extreme, like, orangey red, like, which is, like, not technically right. Maybe by people's standards, like,
but it looks cool.
But it looks cool, and that's where I think not having the technical stuff, just going on intuition, serves me.
It's kind of like the music theory where it's like you don't know what the limit is, so you come up with an idea and then figure out how the heck to make it, even though if you'd known what the technical limitation was before,
it's peaking.
You'd be like,
it's peaking,
I can't do that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's fun too. Like,
And that's the most important part.
Yeah.
And I think that's from everything you've said in this episode and also just us chatting. You enjoy the process of all of this, hence why you do it and do it every day, all day.
Yeah. I mean,
the process of music creation, the process of the visual creation, the process of getting ready for shows, everything.
Like, picking out a new toilet. whole other discussion.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Awesome. Final question for you is, of all of that.
Yes.
What brings you the most joy with this?
The most joy. I mean, I'm not trying to, I'm going to try not to get too deep into this and get super philosophical, but Yeah, I think probably the like peak experiences I have creating it is like touching on what we talked about earlier. When I feel something deeply resonate that I made played back.
Yep.
That really makes me feel good about what I do, even if it's something sad, to be honest.
Right.
Because then I know, like, okay, that's like, I'm really being honest and I'm really being vulnerable sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what it really should be about.
Right.
At its core, when you're trying to do that, is just being very honest and trying to make people feel it. So right. When I can get that out of myself, then I at least know I'm on the right track.
Right. Yeah.
And that keeps me going for sure.
Okay. Well, thanks, man, for coming on the show. And
I
feel
thanks
like we could continue for another 4 hours.
Probably.
So we'll have to have you back on again.
Absolutely.
We'll do this again.
Maybe there'll be another project that we can touch on.
We got some stuff in the works. We got some things going on.
Yeah.
But this was a blast.
It was.